This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to find out how you can volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Joy Chan. The Romance of Tristan and Isolde by Joseph Bedier, translated by H. Belloc. Part the Second, The Ford. Mark had awakened his chaplain and had given him the writ to read. The chaplain broke the seal, saluted in Tristan's name, and then, when he had cunningly made out the written words, told him what Tristan offered. And Mark heard without saying a word, but his heart was glad, for he still loved the queen. He summoned by name the choicest of his baronage, and when they were all assembled they were silent, and the king spoke. "My lords, here is a writ just sent to me. I am your king, and you my lieges. Hear what is offered me, and then counsel me, for you owe me counsel." The chaplain rose, unfolded the writ, and said upstanding, "My lords, it is Tristan that first sends love and homage to the king and all his barony." And he adds, "O king, when I slew the dragon and conquered the King of Ireland's daughter, it was to me they gave her. I was to ward her at will, and I yielded her to you. Yet hardly had you wed her, when felons made you accept their lies, and in your anger, fair uncle, my lord, you would have had us burnt without trial. But God took compassion on us. We prayed him, and he saved the queen, as justice was. And me also, though I leapt from a high rock, I was saved by the power of God. And since then, what have I done blameworthy? The queen was thrown to the lepers. I came to her succour and bore her away. Could I have done less for a woman who all but died innocent through me? I fled through the woods, nor could I have come down into the vale and yielded her, for there was a ban to take us dead or alive. But now, as then, I am ready, my lord, to sustain in arms against all comers that never had the queen for me, nor I for her, a love dishonourable to you. Publish the lists, and if I cannot prove my right in arms, burn me before your men. But if I conquer, and you take back Isolde, no baron of yours will serve you as will I. And if you will not have me, I will offer myself to the King of Galloway, or to him of the Lowlands, and you will hear of me never again. Take counsel, king, for if you will make no terms, I will take back Isolde to Ireland, and she shall be queen in her own land." When the barons of Cornwall heard how Tristan offered battle, they said to the king, "Sire, take back the queen. They were madmen that belied her to you. But as for Tristan, let him go and war it in Galloway or in the Lowlands. Bring him back Isolde on such a day, and that soon." Then the king called thrice clearly, "Will any man rise in accusation against Tristan?" And as none replied, he said to his chaplain, "Write me a writ in haste. You have heard what you shall write. Isolde has suffered enough in her youth, and let the writ be hung upon the arm of the Red Cross before evening. Write speedily." Towards midnight Tristan crossed the heath of sand, and found the writ, and bore it sealed to Ogrin, and the hermit read the letter. How Mark consented by the counsel of his barons to take back Isolde, but not to keep Tristan for his liege. Rather, let him cross the sea when, on the third day hence, at the Ford of Chances, he had given back the queen into King Mark's hands. Then Tristan said to the queen, "O my God, I must lose you, friend, but it must be, since I can thus spare you what you suffer for my sake. But when we part for ever, I will give you a pledge of mine to keep, and from whatever unknown land I reach, I will send some messenger, and he will bring back word of you, and at your call I will come from far away." Isolde said, sighing, "Tristan, leave me your dog Toothold, and every time I see him, I will remember you and will be less sad. And, friend, I have here a ring of green jasper. Take it for the love of me and put it on your finger. Then if any one comes saying he is from you, I will not trust him at all till he show me this ring. But once I have seen it, there is no power or royal ban that can prevent me from doing what you bid, wisdom or folly." "Friend," he said, "here give I you Toothold." "Friend," she replied, "take you this ring in reward." And they kissed each other on the lips. Now Ogryn, having left the lovers in the hermitage, hobbled upon his crutch to the place called the Mount, and he bought ermine there, and fur, and cloth of silk, and purple, and scarlet, and a palfrey harnessed in gold that went softly. And the folk laughed to see him spending upon these the small monies he had amassed so long. But the old man put the rich stuffs upon the palfrey and came back to Iseult, and, "Queen," said he, "take these gifts of mine that you may seem the finer on the day when you come to the ford." Meanwhile, the king had cried through Cornwall the news that on the third day he would make his peace with the queen at the ford, and knights and ladies came in a crowd to the gathering, for all loved the queen and would see her, save the three felons that yet survived. On the day chosen for the meeting, the field shone far with the rich tents of the barons, and suddenly Tristan and Iseult came out at the forest edge and caught sight of King Mark far off among his barony. "Friend," said Tristan, "there is the king, your lord, his knights and his men. They are coming towards us, and very soon we may not speak to each other again. By the God of power I conjure you, if ever I send you a word, do you my bidding." "Friend," said Iseult, "on the day that I see the ring, nor tower, nor wall, nor stronghold will let me from doing the will of my friend." "Why then," he said, "Iseult, may God reward you." Their horses went abreast, and he drew her towards him with his arm. "Friend," said Iseult, "hear my last prayer. You will leave this land, but wait some days. Hide till you know how the king may treat me, whether in wrath or kindness, for I am afraid. Friend, Ori the woodman will entertain you hidden. Go you by night to the abandoned cellar that you know, and I will send Perinus there to say if anyone misuse me." "Friend, none would dare. I will stay hidden with Ori, and if any misuse you, let him fear me as the enemy himself." Now the two troops were near, and they saluted, and the king rode a bowshot before his men, and with him Dinas of Lydon. And when the barons had come up, Tristan, holding Iseult's palfrey by the bridle, bowed to the king and said, "O king, I yield you here Iseult the fair, and I summon you, before the men of your land, that I may defend myself in your court, for I have had no judgment. Let me have trial at arms, and if I am conquered, burn me. But if I conquer, keep me by you, or, if you will not, I will be off to some far country." But no one took up Tristan's wager, and the king, taking Iseult's palfrey by the bridle, gave it to Dinas, and went apart to take counsel. Dinas, in his joy, gave all honour and courtesy to the queen. But when the felons saw her so fair and honoured as of old, they were stirred and rode to the king and said, "King, hear our counsel. That the queen was slandered we admit, but if she and Tristan re-enter your court together, rumour will revive again. Rather let Tristan go apart a while. Doubtless some day you may recall him." And so Mark did, and ordered Tristan by his barons to go off without delay. Then Tristan came near the queen for his farewell, and as they looked at one another, the queen, in shame of that assembly, blushed. But the king pitied her, and spoke his nephew thus for the first time: "You cannot leave in these rags. Take then from my treasury gold and silver and white fur and grey, as much as you will." "King," said Tristan, "neither a penny nor a link of mail. I will go as I can, and serve with high heart the mighty king of the lowlands." And he turned rein and went towards the sea. But Iseult followed him with her eyes, and so long as he could yet be seen a long way off, she did not turn. Now at the news of the peace, men, women, and children, great and small, ran out of the town in a crowd to meet Iseult, and while they mourned Tristan's exile, they rejoiced at the queen's return. And to the noise of bells and over paving strewn with branches, the king and his counts and princes made her escort, and the gates of the palace were thrown open, that rich and poor might enter and eat and drink at will. And Mark freed 100 of his slaves, and armed the score of squires that day with hauberk and with sword. But Tristan that night hid with Ori, as the queen had counselled him. End of the Ford.